Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Temura Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the end of our previous shiur, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, we were introduced to a machloikis between Abaye and Rava. If you have Daf Dalet Amud Beis in front of you, you will notice the names are surrounded with a diamond, Abaye and Rava. And the issue was, in the Lashon of the Gemara, in the words of the Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom, Kol Milsa D'Yom Rachmona Lo Savid, anything that the Torah said not to do, Im Ovid, if you did do it, there was a Machlokas. According to Abaye, Mehani, it takes effect, even though the Torah said not to do something, if you did it, so it takes effect. And according to Rava, lo mahani, it does not take effect. The question was raised, if it doesn't take effect, so then why is it that a person would get lashes, a person would get malkos for something that he was that he did but didn't take effect? So Rava answers that the reason a person gets lashes is because he violated the words of the Almighty. The Ovar Amemra de Rachmona. Now, that is the machlokis that we saw in our previous shiur. As far as today's Gemara, starting from the very top of Daf Hey, we have a series of questions. But the questions will be going in two directions. That's why, if you notice under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we have a house form featured, and we also have an indication that this series of questions is going to continue until Daf Vav Amud Aleph. The house, when its roof is facing upwards, represent Kushos al Rava. Those will be questions on Rava. In other words, we will see sources that indicate that something was violated, a Torah teaching was violated, and it takes effect. We will see houses flipped over with the point facing downwards. Those will be Kushos al Abaye. Those will be sources that indicate that when one attempts to, let's say, violate something the Torah says, that in fact it does not take effect, posing a question on Abaye's position. As we go on in the Gemara, we will also notice a double underlining. That is to highlight Hadgoshas HaMikrim Shemehem Makshim HaKushos Anal. We're emphasizing the cases that will be the source of the respective questions. So we now turn to the very top of Daf Hey Omen Aleph. We see a house with a point facing up, hence we know this will be a kasha on Rava. So we'll expect to see a situation where we have a Torah precept, some type of prohibition, and someone violates it, and it still takes effect. Whereas Rava said it shouldn't even take effect. The opening topic is double underlined. You can see the word oinus. Oinus is a case where someone rapes a nara, a girl, and the halacha of the Torah is that a man who rapes a single girl, he is expected to marry her. Of course, if she agrees. Not only does he marry her, but he is not allowed to divorce her ever in the future. There is a pasuk that accompanies this. It's found in Devarim, Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Tes, And it says in the pasuk, and we have this included on the side of our Gemara, the inside margin, V'nosan ho'ish ha'shochet imo, the person who raped the girl, he must give la'avi hanara, to the father of the girl, chamishim kesef, that's an amount, 50 pieces of silver, that's a fine, v'loy tiyeh li'isha tachas she'ina, and she will be unto him as a wife in exchange for the fact that he had raped her. Lo yuchal shalcha koyamav, and he is not allowed to send her away all of his life. In other words, he's not allowed to divorce her. The Gemara Meisve Oines Shegiresh, a man who raped a girl and he divorced her. Im Yisrael hu, if he is a non-Kohen, a Yisrael, a Kohen is someone who is forbidden to marry a divorced woman, even if it's his own divorcee, but if he's a non-Kohen, an example being Yisrael, and he did divorce her, Machzir v'eino loike, he returns her, he is expected to return her, and does not get lashed. V'i Amris, if you were to say, like Rava, for the simple violation of what the Torah says, one deserves lashes. Honami Luki. Here, this case also should be guilty of lashes. And yet we see, we've dashed, underlined, Eino Loke. Tuvta the Rava. This would be a repudiation, a problem, a question on Rava. Omar Loch Rava. Rava responds, Shiny Hossam. That case, the case of Oynes, is different. The Omar Kro Kol Yomov. We saw that in the Pasuk, the end of Pasuk Choftes. And what do I learn from that expression? Kol Yomov Ba'amod V'Hachzer. That for his entire life, he's in a situation where he is constantly expected to take her back. Therefore, it can be said that he, in fact, by simply divorcing her, he hasn't actually violated the word of the Torah, because even when he divorces her, she's not really disconnected from him in the sense that he is constantly expected to take her back. That's part of the deal, so to speak, and therefore he hasn't completed the violation of the Torah expectation. Now, that is as far as Rava's explanation. Now, the question here is, according to Abaye, who said that which the Torah says, don't do something, and if you did do it, it takes effect. We take a look at Rashi, Ula Abaye, across from here. Rashi says, Di Omar Dehecho De Mahani Loki, Avul I Lo Mahani Lo Loki. Abaye says that only if it takes effect do you get lashes. If it didn't take effect, if the violation didn't take effect, there would be no lashes. So the Didei, according to Abaye, Lamai Itzdurich Lemichtav Kol Yomov. What do I have to? Why does the Torah write the expression Kol Yomov? So Laashminin, to tell us the Koi Bamo Vahachzir, to tell us that he is expected to take her back. V'ahochi lo loki mishum dahave kum asei. And therefore he doesn't get lashes because there is a positive command that he's expected to do. Well, afilu lo kosiv kol yomov, even had the Torah not written kol yomov, shaminon ledidei de lo loki, I would have known, according to Abaye, that there would be no malchus, kevon de lo mehani, the tzorach l'hachzira, since he has to take her back, so he hasn't really violated the Torah. The Torah says not to get rid of her, not to, which would imply something of a permanent nature, but since he's expected to take her back, so he hasn't, by sending her away, he hasn't really completely violated what the Torah says. So the question is, why is it necessary to add the words Kol Yomov? The Gemara. So the Gemara now says, Ulabaya ilav diomar koyomov, had the Torah not added the words koyomov, have amina, I would have thought, isura hu da'ovad lay, that he in fact did a violation, he completed a violation, and iboy lahader, iboy lo lahader, and the idea of her, of his taking her back is an optional point, an option that he has. Komash Malon, that's what Kol Yomov tells us, that it's not an option. He has to take her back. And in fact, that's the reason that by sending her away, according to Abaye, he would not get lashes. Because by sending her away, he hasn't really completely violated the Torah law over here. Because he's constantly in a state where he's expected to also take her back. Lishna Achrina. Now you can see we've squiggled underlined the expression Lishna Achrina. This is an alternative version. And in Gemara markings, when alternatives are presented, we'll squiggle underline that transition expression. So this is the second version of this piece of Gemara, Meisvei. We have a house form, but you notice it's inverted. So that we're going to be using this as a question on Abaye. The source says, Oines Shigiresh im Yisraelu Machzir Veino Loker, a case of a rapist that divorced his victim. After he's expected to marry her, he in fact divorced her. Im Yisraelu Machzir Veino Loker, if he's a non-Kohen, he takes her back and thereby avoids getting lashes. Im Kohen Hu Loker Veino Machzir, if he's a Kohen, though, he will get lashes and he doesn't take her back, because he's not allowed as a Kohen to take back a woman that he divorced. Kotoni Mihas, it does however say here, Im Yisraelu Machzir, if he is a Yisrael, he is expected to, he has to take her back. Now, according to Abaye, if a person went ahead and violated and divorced her, we had learned that Abaye holds that if a person violates that which the Torah says, it takes effect. So if that be the case, so he divorced her. Why should he be expected? Why does he have to take her back? So we see from the fact that the source says he has to take her back, apparently his divorce isn't really effective. Tufto d'Abaye. This would repudiate Abaye's point. We see, in effect, that someone who does something the Torah said not to do, it really doesn't take effect by the fact that he has to take her back. Omar lo Abaye. So Abaye would answer, Shaini Hosam. There, in the case of Ones, it's different, because the Rachmona Omar, there's a special contingency in that particular case, the Torah having added, Kol Yomov. Kol Yomov Ba'amod V'Hachzer. That as long as he is alive, he's expected to take her back. So, because of these extra words, we see that the Torah tells us, in effect, that here the divorce is not effective. But in general, if a person violates something the Torah says, it would take effect. The Rava Amaloch, Rava responds. Now, according to Rava, why does the Torah have to say Kol Yomov when we know that Rava's approach is that if the Torah says not to do something, it really doesn't take effect? So, Rava Omar Loch, Ilo Kosav Rachmona Kol Yomov, had the Torah not written Kol Yomov, Have Amino, I would have thought Lilki Vilahader, he should get lashes and take her back. The Havi Le Oines Lav Greda. That the case of Ones would have been a basic negative violation. And when you have a simple negative violation, there is a penalty of lashing. Dichtiv lo yuchal l'shalcha. The Torah says he cannot send her away. And if he did, had the Torah not written Kol Yomov, it would have been a simple negative command, and that warrants getting lashed. Ahochi kosav kro kol yomov. Therefore, the Torah adds the expression kol yomov l'shavya to make l'oynis the case of the oynis violation l'loisa se shenita klase to make it into a Torah form of negative that's then followed by a positive. And the rule when you have a negative nitak lase, it's removed from the realm of being considered negative into the positive, where the Torah says, do the positive commandment to undo this particular negative. The ain lokin olav, that is the rule, and we've learned this on previous occasions, that a loisa se shenitak lase does not get malkos. So as far as Rava is concerned, the kol yomov expression takes it out of a simple lav and makes it a lav shenitak lase, and that's why there's no malkos. Question. And the house form you see is pointing up, so we know that this will be a kasha on Rava. Rava said that if the Torah says not to do something, so it doesn't take effect. Here we'll see it does. Varei toreim min horo'o al hayofe. Someone who tithes from poor quality produce, this tithing from the poor quality produce will exempt other good quality produce. The Rachmon Omar mikol chelboi, the Torah says that when you practice the tithes, you take it from chelbo. Chelbo is an expression meaning the richest stuff, the best produce. Chelbo in giruin lo. That from the strict Torah standpoint, you're supposed to take from the best, not from poor, not from girua, from bad quality. So, if a person does take from the bad quality, so he's violating what the Torah says. Now, according to Rava, if he violates what the Torah says, it shouldn't take effect. Utnan, we have a source that says Ein Tormin Min Ora Al Yofeh. One should not tithe. Tormin is to do with removing the Truma tithe from the poor quality to exempt the good quality. Vim Toram Truma So Truma. If he does do it, it takes effect. Alma Mahani. So we see that even though the Torah said not to do it, it works. Tufta the Rava. This would be a repudiation of Rava's approach. The Gemara answers Amar Loch Rava Shiny Hasam. That case is different. The case of tithing is different. Ke Rabbi Eloi, based on Rabbi Eloi's teaching. The Amar Rabbi Eloi, the Amar Rabbi Eloi, Minayin Lutori Minoro Ale Yofesh Shutruma Shutruma. From where do we know that if a person does remove tithe from the poor quality to exempt the good quality, that it takes effect? Shenema Vlo Sisu Lovche Barimchem Eschelbo Mimenu. The Torah says that you ought to practice tithing in a proper way because that will enable you to avoid sinning. That's what velosisu alavche means. You won't bear a sin when you tithe the chelbo, the good stuff. Now, im eino kadosh, if one were to tithe the bad quality to exempt the good quality, if it wouldn't take effect, it wouldn't become kadosh, means sanctified or take effect, nesias chet loma, why should there be any bearing of a sin if he did in effect nothing? Well, mikan, from here we see the term in a royal yofesh shetruma shetruma, that one who tithes from the poor quality to exempt the good quality, it takes effect. And that's why, if he does in fact do it, he bears a sin. Ula Abaye, according to Abaye, that says when you violate that which the Torah says it takes effect, why does the Torah have to go out of its way to say velo sisu olav chet? That would be obvious. So, I lav di omar rachmona velo sisu olav chet, had the Torah not written that, havamina, I would have thought hochi omar rachmona ovid mitzvah ma'muvchar, that you should take off when it says v'kol chelbo tarimu, that you should take off the best quality stuff as the tithe. V'i lo ovid, if he didn't do it that way, chote lo mikri, he's not called a sinner. Komash molon, by adding velo sisu olav chet, that if you choose as a lesser quality to serve as a tithe, in fact, you're even called a sinner. Vehare, notice the house form is flipped with the point facing down, so this will be a kasha on Abaye. Abaye having said that even though the Torah said not to do something, if a person does it, it will take effect. Vahare, mimin al sheino mino, one who tithes from one variety of produce to exempt another variety of produce. The Amar Rachmona, the Torah says, kol chelev yitzhar. Now, this posuk is found on the side of our Gemara, Bamidbar, Yudches Posuk Yudbeis. It says in the posuk, and we can read from that which is on the inside column, inside margin, it says, kol chelev yitzhar, v'chol chelev tirosh v'dogon, reishisa masher yitnu l'ashem l'chon nesatim. This posuk is talking about the tithes from yitzhar, oils, chelev of tirosh, of wine, and dogon grains. And the posuk is telling us, back in the Gemara, litain chelev lozeh v'chelev lozeh, that you do a separate tithing for each variety. Utnan, and we have a source that says, ein tormin mimin al sheino mino, one does not tithe from one variety on another variety. V'im toram, ein trumaso truma. And if one did, let us say he removed a portion of a wine to exempt grains, it wouldn't take effect. Alma lo mahani. So we see when the Torah says not to do something, and you went ahead and did it, it doesn't take effect. Tufta davai. This would be a repudiation of Abaye. Alma lo habaye. Shiny hosam. Abaye would say that case is different. There's a special gzeres hakosuv. The amakro reishi sum. There is that word which appears in the pasuk as well. Reishis lozeh v'reishis lozeh. There must be a separate tithing for each one. So you have this we'll call extra term that emphasizes that in this case it won't take effect. In general, if one violates that which the Torah says, it will take effect, but in this case it won't. V'chein Omar Rav Ilah Reishis. Rav Ilah also explains in a similar manner the word reishisam. The Shita Mekubetzis adds a few words here. On Osches he says reishisam, reishis lozeh, for reishis lozeh. So because of this special added expression, I understand it doesn't take effect when you tithe from one variety on another. Now, the Gemara turns to Rava, Ulo Rava. According to Rava, I don't really need an extra expression. Wouldn't I know anyway that it doesn't take effect? So the Gemara answers, Ilav di Omar Kro Reishisam, had the Torah not written that extra expression, Have Amina, I would have thought as follows. Tirosh v'yitzar, these two varieties, and here it's important to have one finger on the posuk. These two varieties, tirosh is the wine and yitzar the oil. Dechsiv behu chelev chelev, regarding those, each of those words, before the word yitzar you have a chelev, and before the word tirosh you have chelev. So I would have thought those that have their own chelev, who the ein tormin mizeh alzeh. You wouldn't tithe from oil on wine, or vice versa. Avol tirosh v'dogan. The words tirosh and dogan are together in the pasuk, followed preceded by one word chelev. So those two, skipping the parentheses lines, techad chelev ksiv behu. There is only one chelev word for them. Torim mehai ahai. That you would be, in fact, be able to tithe from one to exempt the other. Because you don't have a separate chelev word isolating tirosh from dogon. Therefore, kosav rachmona reishis. I need the Torah to write reishis, or reishisam as it appears in the Torah, telling me that even those, the tirosh and dogon, have to be tithed separately. Vehare. Notice we have an inverted house, so this will be a kasha on Abaye. Abaye said that if one violates something the Torah teaches, it will take effect. Well, here we'll see halacha concerning haramim, and you'll see that he, if one attempts to violate what the Torah says, it won't take effect. Haramim is a form of a type of vow where one dedicates an item, and that item will go to a kohen. So it says, "V'harei charamim de'omar achmona lo yimocher v'lo yigael." If a person dedicated something as a cherem, he is not allowed to sell it nor to redeem it. Utnan cheremei kohanim ein lohem pidyon ela nosnin l'kohen. The Tanaic source says that something dedicated as a cherem dedication to the kahuna, it has no pidyon. If you try to redeem it, the redemption doesn't take effect, and rather the item itself you have to give to a kohen. Alma lo mahani. So you see that that if one violates and tries to redeem it, it just doesn't take effect. So tiufta d'abaye, that would repudiate Abaye's stance. Omar loch Abaye, Abaye would answer, shiny hosam, the omrach mona, kiddish kodashim hu. And there's a Shita Mikubetsis that adds, Bahav Yosi, the Shita says that the Shinolov HaKosuv L'Akev, the double expression shows that it is binding. For our purposes, it's an extra expression, we can say, that tells us that it's, once something is dedicated as a cherem, it must remain as such and not and is non-redeemable. So that's why, because of the special gzeiros hakosuv, the special scriptural ruling, it doesn't take effect. The redemption doesn't take effect. But in general, if one violates something the Torah says in the absence of a special scriptural reference, it will take effect. Ula Rava, Hi, who? According to Rava, you don't really need a special scriptural reference to tell me something doesn't take effect. So what is he learning from this expression, Kodesh Kodeshim, who? So at the top of Amud Beis, the Gemara continues, Ula Rava, hi, who? The expression who in this pasuk, Rimuti Bechor, who da'asa. It comes to exclude the case of Bechor. What does that mean? So what we'll do is we go on a few lines in the Gemara and then explain. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source. It says, Bevechor ne'amar lo yisivdeh. Regarding a firstborn male animal, if that is basically something that's given to a Kohen, and in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be offered as a sacrifice. So regarding the Bechor, it says, lo sifdeh, you cannot, it's not something that can be redeemed. And in other words, if the owner had a firstborn animal, he couldn't transfer its sanctity onto something else and then use this firstborn for field work or for shearing for its wool. V'nimkarhu, it is something, however, that if it develops a blemish, it's something that could be sold. Generally, from the Torah perspective, a Bechor, even if it's blemished, is given to a Kohen, but the Kohen could sell it. The Meiser is Meiser Behema. That's a tithe of one-tenth of any given year's animal births. So regarding Meiser, it says, Lo Yigael, V'eino Nimkar. From Lo Yigael, we understand it's not sold. Lo Chai V'lo Shochut, Lo Tam V'lo Balmum. In other words, it cannot be redeemed, not nor even sold. Now, we have to bear in mind, we're learning about this, we quoted this source to contrast Bechor with the case of Haromim. The Rabbeinu Gershom, he explains this sugya. We have a little star, and you can see where it is found in the Rabbeinu Gershom. And let's read what he says. Rava Omar deli olam loy mahani. In trying to redeem a cherem dedication, it wouldn't take effect, even without the pasuk saying Kodesh Kodeshim Hu. Omar lo hai hu the expression who is limute bechor also is coming to exclude the case of bechor. The sanya the bechor nemar lo sifde v'nim karhu b'maisur nemar lo yigal v'eno nim kar lo chay v'chulei. The olif mi lo yigal the charomim we learn from lo yigal of charomim ma lahalon mechira imoi. The prohibition of sale is along with it. Kidichtiv ach kol cherem v'chulei lo yimocher v'lo yigal. Lo yigoel. By cherem you have a double expression. Lo yimocher v'lo yigoel. Lo yimocher cannot sell. V'lo yigoel cannot redeem. Af lo yigoel de meiser. So too in the case of meiser beim where you find only the expression of lo yigoel. Nami mechira imo. Mechira is also included in the prohibition. Avo bechor nimkar. But bechor you don't have the word lo yigoel. You have lo sivdeh. So that this prohibition of even selling doesn't apply to Bechor. So that when we said Kodesh Kodoshim Hu, it said by the Cherme Kehanim Kodesh Kodoshim Hu, we're telling you that just like by the Cherme Kehanim, you have Lo Yigoel, and that means because the Torah writes together with that Lo Yimocher, not only can you not redeem it, you can't sell it. We learn from that to Meiser, but not to the case of Bechor, because in the case of Bechor, you don't have the expression of Lo Yigoel, you just have Lo Yisifdeh. So Bechor is different from the case of Cherme Kehanim. Just to review that again, Cherme Kehanim and Meiser Behema, both of them, cannot be redeemed, nor can they be sold, as opposed to Bechor, it cannot be redeemed, but it potentially can be sold. Vehare, tumura. Now, once again, we have a house. Here the point is facing upwards, so we know that this will be a kasha on Abaye. Let us correct ourselves. That will be a kasha on Rava. Rava said that if one violates something in the Torah, it will not take effect. Here we'll see a violation, and it does take effect. Vehare, tumura. Tumura is in fact our Masichta's topic. The Tumura is the attempt to replicate sanctity from that exists on one animal and to replicate it onto another common chulin animal, expecting it to become kodesh. Regarding Tumura, the Torah says the Yomar Achmona lo yachlifenu v'lo yomiroso, that one should not do this. V'tana. And the Mishnah teaches Lo Shodom Rashoi Lohamir Eloshim Emir Mumar V'Sove Yisrael Boyim, that if he in fact does do this replication, he will be guilty of receiving lashes, and it becomes a tumura, takes effect. Almo Mahani. So you see here the Torah says don't do it, but if he does, it takes effect. Tiufta the Rava. This would repudiate Rava. Or Maloch, Rava will answer, Shiny Hossam. The case of Tmura is different. Yamakro, Vahoyahu, Utmuraso, Yeh Kodesh. The Torah goes out of its way to spell out that the Tmura takes hold, it takes effect. Ula Abaye. Now, according to Abaye, he didn't need the Torah to spell out that it takes effect. I understood that if you violate something the Torah says, it takes effect. So, what does Abaye do with this phrase? Ilav the Omar Rachmona Vayahu Usmur. Also, had the Torah not written that expression, Havamina Teitse Zu V'Tikone Zu, I would have thought that Tumura is a situation where the new animal becomes holy and the original animal loses its holiness. Komash Mulan, that is not the case. That when you do Tumura, it's not the removal of Kedusha from the first animal, but rather it's a replication of that Kedusha onto the second animal. Vehare. And now again we see a house form with the point facing downwards. This will be then Akasha on Abaye. Vehare Bechor Deom Rachmona Lo Sifdeh. The Torah writes about a Bechor that one shall not redeem it. Utznan yesh lahen pidyon, utrosayim pidyon, chutz min habachor, umin ha-maiser. Says that other types of kotshim, other types of sacrifices have pidyon, and even their tmura has pidyon, with the exception of bechor and maiser. They don't have pidyon, they don't have redemption. So here you have a case where the Torah says, do not redeem it. Here you have a Tanaic source saying, well, if you did it, it just doesn't take effect. Amo loy mahani, tiufto dabaye. So again, we see a case of something Torah says not to do, and it doesn't take effect. That will be a kashan abaye. Oh, maloch abaye, shiny hosom. The omakro, haim. It says regarding those examples, haim. Bahav yosun yehu, like by the Bechor and Meiser, they shall remain as they are, not lending themselves to redemption. Ularava hai haim lomale. What does the Torah have to write haim for when it wouldn't take effect anyway? Answer, haim craven, the ain tmurosan craven. When it comes to the Bechor and Meiser, so they are offered as sacrifices, but their tumura would not be offered as a sacrifice. And that's what I learned from the word haim. Ula abaye hai svora menole. Where will Abaye learn that from? After all, he needed the word haim to tell me it doesn't take effect. So the Gemara answers, im shor, im se, lashem, hu. Abaye will learn this point that the tmura of a bechor and meiser not offered as sacrifices from this pasuk, who korev v'ein tmurasan kreva, they're offered but not their tmuras. For Rava, now what about Rava in Hochinami? De mehahi kra, so he grants, yes, I will learn it from that pasuk. So if he learns it from that pasuk, Elohim lomali. So then, what is if Rava is conceding to Abaye that he will learn Haim Kraven Vein Tmuros and Kraven from Im Shor Im Sel Hashem Hu? So what is Rava going to do with the Haim that before? You notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. We said before that Rava used Haim to tell me Haim Kraven Vein Tmuros and Kraven. Now that Rava will concede to Abaye that that point is learned from Im Shor Im Sel, so what is he going to do with Haim? That's the kasha right now. Im Elohim lomali. Answer, limeid al bechor u'maiser. The word haim teaches me about a case of a bechor or maiser behema that were slaughtered in anticipation of being used as a sacrifice. Shinisarev domon bechol ha'oilin, that there was a blood mixture that took place between the blood received from either the bechor or maiser with some other korban, other that's brought to the mizbeach. The bechol ha'oilin is a reference to all other korbanos that are brought to the mizbeach. Shekraven legabi mizbech. Even though there's a blood mixture, that doesn't prevent us from sprinkling the blood and offering the respective sacrifices. Just because there's a blood mixture, there that doesn't result in the voiding or cancellation of the lesser amount of blood in this mixture. Generally speaking, we say that when you have a taroves, a mixture of items, you go according to the one that represents the greater quantity. And here we're saying that we don't follow that rule. The Abaye hai svora menole. Where is Abaye going to learn this point from, that there is, in a case of mixture of sacrificial blood, there isn't the one is not voided or canceled in face of the other? Answer, nafkale, he will learn that from the following, mivolokach midam apar umidam hasoyer. This is a pasuk from the Yom Kippur blood application ceremony that took place in the Heichal, and specifically a reference to the blood application on the golden altar that was in the Heichal. And it says, he shall take from the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoyer. There were two animals that whose blood was brought into the inner sanctum on Yom Kippur, the Par of the Kohen Gadol and the Soyer of Klal Yisrael. V'halo dam ha'par meruba mishal soyer. It's known that a cow is a much larger creature than a goat, so that the blood of the a quantity of cow blood is much greater than that of the goat blood. And yet, you see that when he mixes these bloods, that's the pasuk says he takes from the blood of the par and the dom asoyer, and the assumption right now is that those bloods are taken, they're mixed and applied to the corners of the golden altar in the Heichal. So isn't it so that the cow blood quantity would outnumber the quantity of goat blood in this mixture, and yet they are still referred to individually, the par and the soyer. Mikan la'olin she'ein mevatlim ze'ezeh. We see from here that things that are offered on the altar do not cancel one another. Disanya, the following brisa explains a little bit more, explains what we said already. It says, v'lokach midama par midama soyer. Shiu mu'uravin. There should be a mixing of the cow blood with the goat blood. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says that's how the bloods were applied to the golden altar. They were mixed, and in their mixed form, applied to the corners of the Mizbeach Hazov in the Heichal. And what we noted before was the Torah nevertheless refers to each one in their mixed state by their original names, Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoyer. The Dam HaSoyer retains its identity. So it's from there that Abaye will learn the concept that Rova had learned from the word Haim cited above. Verova. Now, Rova learned that Ein Oilin Mevatlim Zeh, things offered on the Mizbech don't cancel one another. He learned it from Haim. Well, what about the Yom Kippur Pasuk? So he says, Hosom Mizeh Befnei Atzmo Umizeh Befnei Atzmo V'Savar Lo Kurb Yonison. Rava says that in fact the bloods of Yom Kippur, the Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoyer, were not mixed. They were offered separately. And in accordance with Rabbi Yonason, who disagrees with Rabbi Yoshia, that we saw the line above in the Tanaic source. A new question, Vehare. And with the point facing down, we know that this is a kasha on Abaye. Meiser. Meiser is a reference to Meiser Behemon. And this is a point that we saw earlier when we were focusing on Bechor. Meiser was mentioned along with it. Here, the Gemara focuses on Meiser. So it says in the Torah, Dom Rachmona lo yigo'el, that the Meiser Behema is not something that can be redeemed. Utnan, yesh lahem pidyon, smosim pidyon, chutzmen abuchor, min a Meiser. Other sacrifices have a redemption possibility, and that is the case when they develop a blemish. This is not true, though, with regard to Bechor and Meiser. Now, we've dashed underlined Meiser. Meiser is the Meiser Behema tithe. It does not lend itself to redemption. It cannot be redeemed. The Torah says, Lo Yigo'el, and the source says, and if you try to do it, it doesn't take effect. Amo Lo Imahani. So we see when the Torah says not to do something, and you went ahead and did it, it wouldn't take effect. Tufta de Abaye, that is a repudiation of Abaye's approach. Omar Loch, Abaye will answer, Shiny Hosam, Yolif, Evra, Evra, Mibuchor. There's a word comparison. The words evra appear in a variant form, but for our purposes, this is the root of the word evra. You find in both places, and just like in the case of Bechor, because it had its own source that it cannot be redeemed. We saw Abaye explain there, Haim b'havyosun yehu, they shall remain in their original form and not redeemed. Just like by Bechor, Abaye understood that was an established fact. We learned through Evra Evra, so too with regard to Meiser Behema. So that in general, if one violates something the Torah says, his violation will take effect. However, in this case, we have a special scriptural reference demonstrating or proving that it won't take effect here. Vehare. We have a house form with the point facing up. This will be a kasha on Rava. In other words, we'll see something the Torah said not to do, but if you did it, it will take effect. Vare hikdima truma lebikurim. The Torah tells us, in the case of someone that removed a truma tithe before the bikurim tithe,
The Omar Rachmona, the Torah says, Mle'oscha v'dimachalo sacher. That's a pasuk. Utnan, and from this we learn, Hamakdim. Before actually we go on, we should say, Mle'oscha v'dimachalo sacher is the source for tithing must be in proper order. Proper order states, first Bikurim, then Truma, and then there's Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, etc. So there's an order that's dictated, and it says, Loi Sacher, don't delay that which should be earlier. Utnan Hamakdim, Af Alpi Shehu Beloi Saseh, one who Makdim, who ties something earlier than it should have been tied, ties it out of order, even though he is in violation of a lo saseh, masha asui, that which he does takes effect. And we add the shita adds here tiyufta the rava. This is a repudiation of rava. Armaloch rava shiny hasam. That case is different when it comes to the issue of tithing things in order. Di amakro mikol matnosechem torimu. From that extra expression, it says that however you happen to do it, it takes effect. Meaning, even if you do it out of order. Now, according to Abaye, do I need a special pasuk to tell me it takes effect when Abaye, as a rule, says when you violate something, it takes effect? Ula Abaye, mi boya lei. According to Abaye, there's value in this pasuk for a teaching in accordance with what Rav Papa had once said to Abaye, and this little piece of Gemara throws us into the middle of a discussion that they once had, where Abaye had taught a law that if a Levi comes and takes his Maiser Rishon tithe before the owner tithed the produce for Truma, so such a Levi keeps his Maiser Rishon that he took prematurely. But he doesn't have to worry about the Truma Gedola tithe that's latent in there by virtue of the fact that he took it early, so the Kohen didn't get his Truma Gedola tithe. So Abaye had once explained to Rava that in the case that a Levi does take it early, prematurely, he takes it when it's in its stalk form, before it's been threshed and piled up, so the Levi doesn't have to take off the Truma Gedola tithe that's latent in his produce. So Rav Papa asks, Elo Me'ato, Afilu Ikdimo Bekri Nami Niftar, even if a Levi preempts the Kohen when it's in its Kri form. Kri is a pile of grain after it's been threshed. Is he also going to be exempt? Omar Le, Abaye answers, Olech Omakro, regarding your suggestion that even if the Levi takes it as late as the Kri stage, he will not any longer be exempt from taking off the Truma Gedola that's in there. The pasuk says, "Omakro mikol matno sechem torimu." From this, Abaye learns that when the Levi took it in the Kri state, he does have to take off the Truma Gedola. Ma royis l'rabos is a kri l'hotzias a shibolin. So what is it that you see fit to say that if he takes it in the kri state, the Levi takes the tithe before the Kohen received his Truma Gedola, so that Levi does have to remove Truma Gedola from the Maiser Rishon that he took, and yet we exclude when the Levi takes it in stalk form. So to this we answer, Mar be'ani es akri, shieshno b'chlal digun. Digun is the word or the verb form of dogon. Dogon is a reference to processed grains, meaning after they've been threshed and piled up. And the Torah says that you have to take off truma from digonecha, something that's dogon. And here the Levi took dogon before the Kohen received his truma gedola from. Umotzi anias a shibolin, I can exclude the Levi's responsibility of taking off the Truma Gedola from his Meister Rishon in the case of stalks, Shein Bechlal Digun, the Torah itself didn't expect Truma to be removed from a pre-Dagon state. Question, new question. We see the house form point facing up. Akasha on Rava. In other words, we'll see a situation here where the Torah says not to do something. If you went ahead and did it, it takes effect. Almono l'kohen gadol. A widow married by a kohen gadol. D'rachmona ma'amona grusha lo yikach. The Torah says regarding a kohen gadol that he shall not take as a wife a widow, an almona, nor a divorced woman. Utnan, we have a Tanaic source that will show us that if he did, she becomes his wife. It says Kol Mokoyim Shiyesh Kiddushin V'yesh Avera, any situation where there is a marital bond form and it was done in sin, Havlad Holech Achar HaPogum, the offspring's identity will follow the problematic individual in that union. And as far as this is concerned, a Kohen Gadol who marries an Almona, so the Vlad is not going to be traced after the Kohen Gadol, but rather after the fact that the mother was an Almona, and making the child into a Cholo. The source said, though, it said, Yesh Kiddushin, regarding a case of an Almona to a Kohen Gadol. So we see that the Kiddushin took effect. What does Abaye say about that? What does Rava say about that? Rava said that if you do something the Torah says not to do, it doesn't take effect. Here, the Kohen Gadol was told, don't marry the Almona, but if he does, she does become married to him. So, Shaini Hocha, the Omar Kro, Lo Yichalel Zaroi. Here we have a special Gzeres HaKosuv that indicates for us that the marriage is to take effect. The Rashi explains, Shaini Hosan Dativ Lo Yechalel, Demashma Chalolim Hu Oiseveno Ose Mamzerim, that the result in children are called Chalolim, but they're not called Mamzerim. A Mamzer is a child that would result from a union that doesn't bond, that doesn't take effect. An example of that would be a brother trying to marry a sister, and if they would have a child, the child would be called a mamzer. And in this pasuk we see that the children are not called mamzerim, they're called chalolim, and that reflects on the fact that the kedushin took hold. Turning to the continuation of the Gemara, Ula Abaye, according to Abaye, I on my own would have known that the Almona Kohen Gadol marriage takes effect. So what do I gain by this pasuk? Ula Abaye, Neimo Kro Lo Yachel. If the pasuk's role was just to tell me about the Vlad, that the Vlad does not become a mamzer, he becomes a cholo, it could have said lo yachel, mai lo yichalel. What is gained by Abaye by the double expression, by the double lettering there, lo yichalel, as opposed to lo yachel? Echod loy ve'echod lo. So, as far as the basic halacha is concerned, that the kid, the child, becomes a cholol, indicating that the marriage takes effect, truth be told, Abaye doesn't really need a pasuk for that. So what does this pasuk do? From the extra expression, extra lamed in the pasuk, we learn that not only does the child become a cholol, but the woman also becomes a chalola. She too gets a label on her. Vehare, we have a new question. the point is facing up, so we know this will be a kasha on Rava, where someone is told not to do something, and if he does it, it will take effect. Hamakdish bale mumen lemizbeach. Someone dedicates a blemished animal to the altar, meaning as a sacrifice. Everyone knows that blemished animals are not brought as sacrifices. Here, the individual sanctified bal mum as a sacrifice. The Torah says that which has a blemish, you are not to offer. Utnan, and it says in the following source, Hamakdish bale mumen legabi mizbeach, someone who dedicated a blemished animal as a sacrifice, even though he is violating the Torah law, ma she'osa osui, what he did takes effect. In other words, it becomes sanctified. It doesn't mean he's going to bring it as a korban, but it becomes sanctified. Tiufta de Rava, this would appear to be a repudiation of Rava. According to Rava, if you did something you weren't supposed to do, it wouldn't take effect at all. Omar loch Rava, shiny hosam, the case of Makdish Baal Mum is different. Yomar Kro, Uleneder lo Yerotse. Ritsui hu de lo Meratse, it doesn't achieve appeasement, appeasing the Almighty by being brought as a sacrifice. So the Torah emphasizes all that happens is it's not brought as a sacrifice, ha mikdash kachi, but it does become sanctified. So Rava says that the pasuk tells me, I have a special gzeres hakosev over here that tells me it takes effect. Ula baye. Now according to baye, I didn't need to be told through a special gzeres hakosev that it takes effect. Why does it have to say ulan eider lo yeratzeh? He lo omar rachmon ulan eider lo yeratzeh, had the Torah not added that. Have amino, I would have thought ka'over mitzvah v'kosher, that one who sanctified a blemished animal as a sacrifice, it of course takes effect. But not only that, you could actually bring it as a sacrifice, and it would be like over mitzvah, means you didn't do it the right way, but it's v'kosher, but it would be suitable to be brought. Komash malan, that it's not kosher at all. Vihare. Once again, another question. You see the point facing up, Akasha on Rava, where we'll have an example of something the Torah says not to do, and if you did it, it takes effect. Vare makdish tamimim lebedek avayas. Someone dedicates an unblemished animal to the temple repair fund, bearing in mind that unblemished animals are things that should go to the altar. He dedicated an unblemished to the temple repair fund. The Omar Rachmona, the Torah says, and there's a pasuk quoted, Sora v'kolot, on this side we have featured the pasuk, in Vayikra Chof Beis, pasuk Chof Gimel, it says, V'shor v'seh sora v'kolot, nedova taso so, l'neneder lo yirotzeh. It's considered a dedication, but it's not to be brought as a sacrifice. So what we see here is someone was makdish an unblemished animal to the temple repair fund. The Omar Rachmona Sorova Kolot, we're now at the top of Dav Vov Omer Aleph, Nedova Taase Oso, that's the Posuk, Ze Koche Berek Habayis. The Nedova Taase Oso reference here is to the temple repair fund. Utnan. So we see here that blemished animals are dedicated to the temple repair fund. Utran hamakdish tamimim lebedek habayis, afalpi shehu b'lo sase, even though he is violating a negative command, ma she'osa asui, it takes effect. Rashi at the very top elaborates and refines the question. Rashi says, nedova taso so v'yamrinu lekamon elu koche berek habayis. Ve'iko lemashma oisoi ato matis berek habayis. The soru of the kolut, these blemished animals, are suitable for dedications to the temple repair fund. Ve'i ato matis tamimim leberek habayis. And you're not allowed to dedicate unblemished animals to that same fund. And yet it says in this Tanaic source that if one did dedicate Tumimim Levetic Abayis, it takes effect. The Kedusha takes effect. So, according to Rava, if you did something wrong, nothing should take effect. So this is a kasha on Rava. Omar loch Rava. Rava will answer. Mimokom shnisrabu balei mumin legabi mizbeach. From the same source that we learned that one who dedicates blemished animals to the mizbeach, that they do in fact become sanctified. Nisrabu tamimin leberek habayis. The same thing takes effect with regard to unblemished, dedicated to temple repair fund. We take a look at Rashi, four lines from the top. Mehecha disrabu balei mumin lemizbeach. Dekatshi b'di'evet. We say they're post facto, they are dedicated. Israbu, Rashi goes on, deha ba'hu kro ksiv, in the same pasuk it says, l'lo neder lo yirotzeh, v'aminon lekamon, elu kol shei mizbeach. That is a reference to animals dedicated to the altar. Uksiv lo yirotzeh, demashma, derutzui lo marzu. From this we infer that they don't atone. Ha mikdish kachi. They do become sanctified. The iskush tamimim leberek abayas lebali mumim lemizbeach. These two elements are compared. The unblemished to temple repair fund to the case of blemished dedicated to the altar. The hom mechad kro nafki leisura de lo makdish. They are both learned from the same pasuk that one should not make such dedications. So too, we will compare them to with regard to this point that, well, if you went ahead and violated it, it takes effect. But once again, it's a special pasuk to tell me that it takes effect. But in general, Rava will tell you that if one violates something the Torah says not to do, it won't take effect. Realizing that we're in the middle of this series of questions on both of the different opinions of Abaye and Rava, but we are at a point in the Gemara where we will stop for today, and at this point we conclude our shiur for today.